Masechet Shabbat dedicated by Benjamin Stavrash. Refuat Shelema Kol Chole Amo Yisrael Ubefrat Lechole HaKorona Veshlach Lanu Refuat Shelema VeGeula Shelema. Amen. We begin today's daf on Yud Amud Rishon, and we are actually on the second line. We were dealing with a question on yesterday's daf. Our Mishnah said that a person shouldn't begin certain practices before he prays mincha, or before he prays. However, if he started the practices, he doesn't have to be mafsik. And then the Gemara said that when it comes to praying tefillat arbit, if, for example, he started to eat, as an example, he unfastened his belt, which is the beginning of eating, so then it says that he has to put it back on, and has to be mafsik. So the question was, we have a stira. Our Mishnah said that if you started already, be isur, you can continue. And here when it comes to arbit, we said that you can't. You have to stop and go pray. So one answer we gave was that arbit is shikhrut. And therefore, since there's a chance of drunkenness, so therefore we're not going to let him eat first. Whereas in mincha, it's not so customarily that people drink during mincha time. The second answer is inameh b'mincha kevan dekevi ala zimna mirtat velo atel lemifsha arbit kevan dechula lelia zeman arbit lo mirtat v'atel lemifsha. So the rule is that the less time you have for a tefillah, the more worried you are that you're going to miss it. So we're not choshet that you're going to be posheya. Mincha, you only have it till sunset. So therefore, even if we let him continue doing his practice, we're not worried that he's going to miss mincha, because he's always worried that the time is going to pass. But Sheikh Arbit, he has the whole night. So then when you have the whole night, the attitude is, I'll push it off, and he's lax. So therefore, in that case over there, we don't let him eat first. You know, we tell him, put on your belt and go back and pray. The Gemara comes along and says, Matkif la Rav Sheshat, Trichuta, the Mesar, Emyaneh? The first question is that you're telling me that that once he takes off his belt, so then everybody's considered as if he's, you know, started the Sa'uda. And therefore, we're not going to matriach him to put back on his belt. So the Gemara says, what? Terichuta le Mesar Emyaneh? What's such a terhat to put on your belt? What's the... You know, what's the big interruption, or what's the big difficulty, I should say? Ve'od, likua chibit etzlef. Forget about your belt. Just get up and pray. What do you need your belt for? Obviously, there was not a belt that was holding up his pants. This was a belt that they used to wrap around their bodies or something. So therefore, what's the difference? Let him get up and pray nonetheless. They used to wear robes anyway. So therefore, let him get up and pray. So the Gemara says, no mishum shene emar. Hikon nekrat Elohecha Yisrael. Oh, there's a din of Hikon. Hikon nekrat Elohecha Yisrael. Rashi says hitna elefanav. And therefore, it seems that this is answering the second answer, the second question. The second question was, let him get up and pray without a belt. So no, you can't get him to pray without a belt. That's part of the beauty of the tefillah, hitna elefanav. So therefore, putting on a belt, that's... already in yan of preparation for the tefillah. The only question is, it doesn't answer the first question. The first question was, what's the big tircha? Put back on your belt. It was, no, it's in yan of hikon. The explanation is that once we tell you it's in yan of hikon, so I saw things from the Satmar Rebbe. Once already it's a mitzvah, so now already you're a mitzvah ve'oseh. Once you become a mitzvah ve'oseh, it becomes more difficult. You know, if you don't have to do it, okay, so you put it up. Once already you have to do it, now everything becomes a tircha. So therefore, the Gemara is saying, it's a mitzvah, hikon. Ah, it's hikon. Yeah, look how difficult. Even an easy thing like putting on a belt, all of a sudden becomes a tircha. Rava baravuna rame puzmake umatzle. So Rava barhuna, he would put on a special pair of like socks, before he would pray. And he would say, Hikon nekrat Elohecha Yisrael. It's Hikon. It's a preparation for the tefillah. Tosfot learns from over here. that mikan yesh lo chiyash she'en nitpalel yahav ela b'tesh'a be'av yom kippurim. Right, from here you see there's a famous law that says you shouldn't pray barefoot, because that's part of hikon. Again, you also see from the last sugya that there's not to wear a belt. We say in the morning, Ozer Yisrael b'gvura, and that's referring to the belt that a person wears. So Tosfot comes along and says, Mikan, Tosfot before that, Shesarich le'ezor halatzav kishemitpalel. Right? You have to gird yourself with a belt before you pray. Right? Some say it's to make a separation between the upper body and lower body. They used to wear robes. So if you wear a robe and you're not wearing anything underneath it, so then of course the belt becomes mandatory to separate upper body and lower body. Anyway, we wear pants with a belt in the pants. So in Anu Sidichim, there is a special belt. But of course, you know, the Hasidim, that's where they get that gartel from. It's a special belt. Mishum Hikon. No, a special belt from this Gemara. Rava Shade Gelime Ufachar Yade Umatzle. It's the way Rava used to pray. It says, what did he do? It says, Shadeg Elime Rashi in the third, fourth line. Mashlich Adarto Me'alav. He would take this Adarto, it's a certain type of a garment that he had, that's Hashuv, is like scarf or something. And he would cloth and throw it off. He didn't want to look like a Hashuv person when he was praying. Ufachar Yadeh. He would lock his hands together, and his hands, fingers together, as she says. Like a person that's mitzta'er, he's agonizing in front of the fear of his master. And then he would pray. Amar, and he would say, Ka'avda kameh mareh, like a servant that is standing in front of his master. Amar of Asher, hazin aleh l'rav kahana, ki'ika tza'ara be'alma, when there was tza'ar in the world, when the world was going through a difficult time, then he would take off this cloth, which was considered a sign of hashivut. Ufachar yadeh, and he would lock his hands together. Umatzle, and he would pray. Amar ke'avda kameh mareh, like a servant in front of his master. However, ki'ika shalma, when there was peace in the world and things were okay, lavish, he would put it back on. Umet kaseh, and cover himself up. Umet atef, and wrap himself, umatzle. Amari would say, Hikon, Eklat Eloheka Yisrael. Adrabah, then he's supposed to look in a more presentable way in order to pray to in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baruch Atah Adonai. Gemara continues. Rava Hazya Lerava Menuna Dekam Ma'arich Meslote. So Rava Menuna was Ma'arich. You know, he prayed a long Amidah. Amar manihin haye olam ve'oskim b'haye sha'a. Torah is called haye olam ve'haye olam mata petochenu, and tefillah is called haye sha'a because you're praying for your temporary needs, panasa, health, you know, things that you need in this world. So obviously, Rava's opinion was okay. You could pray, but don't pray so long. Go back and learn. You're taking away from the Talmud Torah. So Rashi says, "Haye olam Torah tefillah sorek haye sha'ahi lefuah leshalom lemezonot." You know, things that you need for now. Vehu savar. Obviously, what did Rav Menuna hold? Vehu savar zman tefillah lechud vezman Torah lechud. There's a time for everything. There's a time for tefillah, and there's a time for Torah. And therefore, your time for tefillah does not take away from your time of Torah. And therefore, you could pray, as you wish. Gemara says, Rabbi Yirmiyah Abayativ Kamed Rabbi Zerah. The rabbis were sitting together, Rabbi Yirmiyah in front of Rabbi Zerah. Vavu Aske B'Shemata. And they were learning. Shemata is like halachot. And what happened? Naga Letzeluye. So they were late. The time was late to pray. Vavaka Mesarhev Rabbi Yirmiyah. So Rabbi Yirmiyah was rushing to get up and pray. So the Bizera said on this, Masir ozno meshemoa Torah gam tefilato to'eva, that you're removing your ears from hearing Torah, your tefillah is also abominable. So obviously he held that you don't have to stop your learning in order to go pray. We're learning now. Now, the Mefashim will point out that obviously these people were Torato Umanuto. Torato Umanuto means that Torah was their career and they weren't Mevatel a minute. And therefore, the Bizra held, you don't have to, in such a situation, you don't have to be Masid Ozno. You don't stop learning in order to go pray. But obviously, for everybody else that's not on that level of Torato Umanuto, clearly, when the time of Tefillah comes, you would have to close the book and learn. Me'ematai hathalat din. Okay, now we go back to what we were learning above. We said that once the court starts this session, whatever that means starts, so then already that's called hathalat din. So the halakha was that you don't have to stop for mincha or for shah, you know, for tefillah. Normally we said that before you sit down to judge, you have to pray mincha. But we said if you started already, you can continue. So the question is, what's considered starting? You know, what do you have to do in a courtroom that it's considered that you started? So the deen is me'ematai hathalat din, Rabbi Yirmiya v'Rabbi Yonah. Hadamar mishi yit'atefu haddayanim. When the dayanim put on their robes, okay, robes, or at least they wear a hat, a special type of atifa. Lehad amar mishiftihu ba'ledinim. When the ba'ledinim open up their claims, when they start to, you know, open up and give their claims in front of the court. And as she just says, dayanim mit'atefim betalitan. Interesting, they would put on a talit when they would sit down to judge. Kishepotchim bedin me'ematai. Shekhinah. Interesting. So the Shekhinah is in the courtroom. So therefore they would put on the talit, like you're praying the Amidah. They would cover their heads with the talit from the fear of the Shekhinah that's in front of them. Not only that, they don't want like blinders, so they don't get sidetracked from looking on the different ways. So now we know there's a reason why you put on your talit over your head in the Amidah. So you shouldn't look to the sides. But nonetheless, the Gemara says, Vela Peligi. What do you mean, La Peligi? Just give me two different opinions. One opinion is when the litigants start to say their claims, and one is when they start to put on their robes. So the Gemara says, Ha de aske ve'atu bedina, which means, if they already were in session, which means, and they were already dressed, they already had the talit over their heads, so then athalat din is when the litigants come and start giving their claims. But if they initially did not yet sit, so then hathalat din is when they put on their robes. It depends which point in the court proceedings we're talking about. If we're talking about where they didn't even sit down yet, okay, so hathalat din is when they put on the talit. If they sat down already, then hathalat din is when the litigants start to give their claims.
Sounds like the first case or the second case of the day.
Right, exactly. Rab Ameh v'Rab Aseh Avu Yetveh v'Garseh B'nei Amudeh. So Rab Ameh and Rab Aseh, they would learn B'nei Amudeh. They would learn where they would pray in the Beit HaMidrash. And they would announce, that she says, Sha'aliyat Beit HaMidrash Tash'an Alem. They would pray by the beams that would hold up the Beit HaMidrash. That's where they would sit. V'chol Sha'ata V'Sha'ata. And every hour, Havu tafche a'ivra de dasha. They would bang. What is it? A'ivra de dasha, like on the threshold. Ve'amri, di'ika di'itla le'dina li'ul ve'lete. Rabotai, anybody has a case? Anybody has a deen? Baruch haba. They would announce. Whoever has a case that they need to litigate, we're here. Come and state your case. So the Gemara says, Rashi Tosfot points out over here, Mashma da'adiv din mitalmud Torah. Right? Sounds like that din is even greater than learning, because they were learning. And they stopped their learning to announce, Rabotai, come and litigate. Okay. So the Gemara continues, Rav Chazda v'rabah bar huna havu yatveh bedina. Fine. So these rabbis were sitting in Dina. Kuli yoma, the whole day. Hava kahalish li bayu. So that she learns halish li bayu. In one explanation, is they were mitzta'er that they weren't able to learn that day. In another explanation, he says that lashon ta'anit, that they didn't eat halash li bayu, they were faint because they were sitting in court all day long, and they didn't eat. So tana lehu levchiya bar rav midifti. So this is according, we're going according to explanations, halash li bayu, because they didn't learn. So they felt, we got so busy in the court all day long. Halash li bayu, what's going to be with our learning? So the rabbi consoled him. He said, you don't have to worry. It says in the pasuk, v'ya'amod ha'am al Moshe min ha'boker ad ha'erev, that the people stood in court by Moshe Rabbeinu from the morning until the evening. V'chi ta'aleh al da'techa she'Moshe yoshev v'dan kol ha'yom kulo. Does that mean literally? Min ha'boker ad ha'erev. You think Moshe Rabbeinu sat in court all day long? Torato matay na'asit. When did he learn? When did he teach? Edla lomar lecha. When it says boker and erev, it's not to tell you a time. It's coming to tell you what it's compared to. That dayanut is compared to something else that also says the words boker and erev. Namely what? Vayi erev, vayi boker. Which means that anybody that sits in a court, no matter how long he sits, even for an hour, it's as if he becomes a partner with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in the creation of the world. So therefore, it's a great thing. Kol dayan shedan din emet la'amito, which means a true case. True case, Tosfot says, la'poke din mirumeh. There's a concept that's called din mirumeh. Mirumeh means is that the judge, he knows that the guy's lying, but he can't really prove it from what they're saying. So he has to be extra smart to figure out, even when all the things are lining up, it's still considered din mirumeh. There's something wrong over here. So that's called emet la'amito, that he really knows the truth of the case. Afilu sha'achat, even if he sits for 1 hour in court, ma'ale ala v'katuv, kilu na'aseh shutaf la'kadosh baruch hu b'ma'aseh bereshit. Because he becomes a partner with God in Ma'aseh Bereshit. What's the proof that he becomes a partner with God in Ma'aseh Bereshit? Kediva kavi amod amal Moshe min haboker ad ha'erev. And we're learning that boker ad ha'erev is not literal. He didn't litigate from morning to evening. He had to learn, he had to teach. And the reason why it says boker ad ha'erev is to compare it to something else that's boker ad ha'erev. What is that? Kedivatam vayi erev vayi boker yom ehad. Now what does that mean? That it says that he becomes a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Ma'aseh Bereshit, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. But without justice, the world would be bedlam. The world would be, tohu vavohu, helter skelter. So therefore, there's not only the creation of the world, but then there's the establishment of the world. Like it says in the Mishnah, Pirkei Avot, Hashlosha devarim ha'olam kayam. And one of them is Aladin. That justice, the deen, is one of the things that keeps the world in existence. So therefore, a judge that's making peace between the people, so he's a partner. He didn't create the world, but he's a partner with God. He's keeping the world established. Ad matai yoshvim bedin. Okay, now the Gemara has another question. Ad matai yoshvim bedin. You know, how long did the judges sit in court? What's the protocol? How long do they sit in court? Amar of Sheshat, Adzman Sa'uda, until lunch. Amar of Hama, Me'ekera. Now, what's lunch? So we're going to see that lunch for Talmidei Hachamim is midday, Sha'a Shishit. Okay, so that's, midday they eat lunch, so they sit half a day in court. Dechtiv, as the Pasuk says, this pasuk over here is in Kohelet. Ilach. Ilach is like, woe to you. Eretz, the land. Shemalkech na'ar. That your kings, meaning man malcher banan, that the tzaddikim, the rabbis, the judges, they act like kids, like na'ar. The sarayich and your leaders, baboked yochelu. They eat in the morning. They're supposed to eat in the morning. the Seudah Tamim Hachamim is in, it's Chatzot. So woe to the country that the Sarayich eat in the morning like Na'arim. However, the next Pasuk says that Ashrayich or Ashrech, fortunate, is Eretz Shemalkech Ben Horim, that your leaders are free, meaning free from the Ta'avot of Achila. The Sarayich Ba'et Yochelu, and they eat at the right time. And what's the right time? We'll say at the midday. And then it says, Bigbura Velo Bashiti. What does that mean, Bigbura Velo Bashiti? Bigbura Shel Torah, that they prefer the Givura, the strength of Torah, Velo Bashtiya Shel Yayin, over drinking their wine. So therefore you see that Tamidah Chamim, they have a time. There's an Et, Ba'et Yochelu. And what's that Et Yochelu? That's the time of the Tamidah Chamim. Rashi says, as she says, Shemalkech, who are these kings? Dayanecha. Shadayan karui melech. Oh, the judge is called a king. Why is he called a king? Shane'emar melech b'mishpat ya'amid eres. Tanu Rabbanan. Now the Gemara is going to discuss different people that would eat at different times. So it says, Sha'ari shona, the first hour in the day, b'mash, when they get up in the morning, ma'achal ludim. So the Ludim eat. She says these were Ludim, cannibals. And they were very, ravenous people. So the second they would get up in the morning, the first thing they do is, breakfast in bed. And they eat right away. Shiniya ma'achal listim. Second hour is called ma'achal listim, the robbers. Because they're up all night robbing people. So they sleep the first hour. They're tired. So they get up in the second hour. The first thing they do is they eat. Shlishit ma'achal yorshin. Well, a person that inherited money obviously doesn't have to work so hard. So they're not too worried about, looking for their mezonot. So they get up, they wake up a little later, third hour, might have breakfast right away. They're not doing anything. They be'it ma'achal po'alim. The fourth hour, that's the workers. Hamishit ma'achal kol adam. Hamishit is everybody else. So the Gemara has a contradiction. Ini v'amana papa v'eid zman seuda lechol adam. Fourth hour is for everybody else. She says, okay, switch it around. Elad v'eid ma'achal kol adam, and then hamishit ma'achal po'alim. So I guess they're a little busy, so their lunch or their breakfast is delayed. Shishit ma'achal tamidei hachamim. Sixth hour, that's already the ma'achal of tamidei hachamim, and then it says mikad va'ilach. That anybody that eats after that, kizorek even lahemet, that would be like throwing a rock into the barrel of wine, which means it's deceiving. When you throw the rock into the barrel of wine, what happens to the wine? The wine rises because of displacement. So it looks like there's more wine, but there's really not. So it's the same thing when a person eats after that time, although he's putting something in his stomach, but it's not going to benefit. It's not going to add to his... to his benefit. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, lo amaran ela de lo ta'im mideh besafra. That's only talking about where he didn't eat anything in the morning. Aval ta'im mideh besafra let lamba. But if he ate something in the morning, then eating after the sixth hour is not considered zorek even lahemet. It will be a benefit. Amar Rab Ada Barahaba. Now we discuss over here the law of a bathhouse. Now, the Rashi just gives us the way the old bathhouses were. So you have three rooms in the bathhouse. You have the inner room, which is actually where they were undressed, and that's where they would sit to sweat and, to go into the actual waters itself. They were undressed. Then... they would get partially dressed, like they put their towel on and walk into the middle room. In the middle room, they're dressed and they're not dressed. And then after that, they would go into the front room, and that's where they were fully dressed. So we're discussing what you're allowed to do in any of these rooms. The gaber, praying, the gaber, tefillin, the gaber, all these mitzvot that you want to do. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Ada Bar Ahava, מתפלל אדם תפילתו בבית המרחץ, אוקיי? That doesn't tell me which room this is. But it says, "Mitpalel Adam tefilato bebet ha-merchatz." You can pray in the bathhouse. Yeah. Gemara says, "Meti be." What do you mean? We have a question. Hanechnas lebet ha-merchatz. If a person enters the bet ha-merchatz, it depends. Makom shebnei Adam omdim levushim. So levushim, that would be the outer room where everybody's dressed already. Yes, sham mikra. Of course, you could read, learn. You could pray. For sure, you could say shalom. We'll see what the inyan of shalom is. The Gemara is going to tell us one of the names of God. You can even put on your tefillin in that room. It goes without saying, you don't have to take off your tefillin if they're on already, which is when you walk in initially to that room, you don't have to right away take off your tefillin. You could leave your tefillin on. Why? Because that room over there is the outer room. Nothing going on in that room. But the room that the people are, arumim ulbushim, which means this, the middle room, where the people are sometimes dressed, sometimes undressed. So obviously you have to be more careful in that room. Yes, sham she'elat shalom. So she'elat shalom is okay. Ve'en sham mikra utfila. You cannot obviously pray in that room and read in that room. Ve'eno choletz tefillin. Okay, you don't have to take off your tefillin. However, ve'eno mania lechatayla. But you can't put it on lechatayla. So obviously it's a little more strict. Now, makom shebnei omdim arumim. That's the actual bathhouse itself. En sham she'elat shalom. Ve'en tzadik lomar mikra utfila. Ve'choletz tefillin. Obviously you have to take off your tefillin. En tzadik lomar she'eno maniham. Obviously you don't have to even tell me that, because if you have to take off your tefillin, certainly you cannot put them on. So basically, we have a stira over here. You told me, Rabba Dabba Rabba, that what? That you're allowed to pray in the bathhouse. And now you're telling me over here, you can't pray in the bathhouse. So obviously, we'll answer it, different rooms. Yabra says, Ki ka'amar Rabba Dabba Rabba. He says, Bamirhatz she'en bo Adam. No, he was talking about the actual bathhouse room itself. But nobody was there. No, nobody was there. It was empty. That was, he came there when nobody was there. Implying that what? That the only reason why you couldn't pray there is because people are standing there undressed. But if nobody's there, it sounds like it's okay. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Ve'a amar Rabbi Yoseh bar Hanina merchatz she'amru apal pi she'en bo adam. That the merchatz that they said, as even if there's nobody there. Which means once it's designated for a merchatz, I don't care if anybody's there or not. Bete kiseh she'amru, same thing with the bathroom. Even though it's a clean, they clean the bathroom perfectly. So could you pray in the bathroom? Clearly not. So, but what are you answering me that it's talking about she'en bo adam and all this stuff over here? So en bo tzoah. So the Gemara says ela ki ka'amar Rab Ada. So what Rab Ada was talking about behadete. He's talking about, it was a new one. Nobody ever used it. Brand new. Was never used. They did exactly right out of construction. So nobody ever used it, so that's why it's okay to pray inside the actual bathhouse itself. Gemara, so what do I care? Once they designated for a bathhouse, the designation itself, like we learned, is significant. Ravina, we know the question that they asked Ravina. What Ravina asked, his mino le beta kiseh. Let's say they just designated a beta kiseh. Mahu, what's the deen? Yes, zimun or en zimun? Does the zimun, does the designation make it a beta kiseh, le'inyan, that you will not be able to pray in it, and so on and so forth, or not? The Gemara says, velo efsheta, there. Which means, they didn't answer that question. So how are you answering this question over here, that it's a new bathhouse? Obviously they designated it. So l'chaura, that's a big she'ela. Now, labu adin le'merhatz, which means, Rabina's question was by a bathroom. But the Chavra, it's the same question by a bathhouse. So why should it be different? So the Gemara says, lo, dilma, we turn to the Amud Bet, shani beta kiseh dema'is. Right, because, as she says, interesting, what's the ma'is about the beta kiseh? A new beta kiseh is not ma'is, by the way. A new beta kiseh is not ma'is. But as she says, v'shem migune alav. V'shem beta kiseh, bathroom. A bathhouse is not such a migune word. So therefore, by a bet kiseh could be the hazmana already does something, but a bet merhas could be not. And that's whatever that was talking about. But they were mazmin a new bet merhas, and he said, in that new bet merhas is permissible to pray even in the inner room. Now before we go further, Rabotai, I need just to go back to say an alternate explanation to one of the pieces that we read over here. If you look at Rashi, which I think I mentioned this, but look at Rashi, Tani Lehu Hiya Barav. Look at that Rashi. That was with the rabbi that was judging all day long, and it says Halash Li Beh. Right? So the one explanation we said was, because he wasn't learning. He felt bad that he wasn't able to learn that day. And the Gemara came along and said, nah, Moshe Rabbeinu, what do you think? He didn't judge the whole day. Moshe Rabbeinu judged a small amount of time. And the small amount of time that he judged is because he's a shutaf b'ma. So it's a great thing. Don't worry about it. You're doing a great thing. The Rashi says an alternate explanation. Firstly, he says, Shigadol skara dayanim. Don't worry, the reward of the judges is great. V'lo yitzta'adu. If it meant that they were just upset, it would have said halash da'tayu, but it didn't say halash da'tayu, it says halash libayu, which sounds like lashon halash libayu, lashon ta'anitu, shelo sa'adu kol hayom. So that's what the halash libayu was, that the reason why he was upset, and I was upset mentally. Physically he was drained because he didn't eat. Ta'analu hiya barab. And the answer they were telling him is, you don't have to sit all day long and judge. He read the pasuk by Moshe Rabbeinu, and it says, so he says, okay, it's literal. He says, no, it's not literal. It just means he's a shutaf to Kadosh Baruch Hu b'maaseh bereshit, but you know, you can eat, go eat. You don't have to. So that's another way of explaining that Gemara. Okay, Rabotai, now we go back to the Amud Bet. En sham she'elat shalom. So we say that in the bathhouse itself, you cannot say shalom. What's the problem? Misayale the Rabbi Menuna mishemid deula deamar asul leadam sheyitin shalom lechaveru bebet hamerchatz. Okay, hadush. So we have halacha here. Person's in the mikveh. He leaves the mikveh on Friday afternoon. He can't say Shabbat shalom. Probably can't even say the word Shabbat either. By the way, Shabbat is also one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, you have to be careful. SS. Shabbat shalom. Mishum shene'emar. How do you know that? Because it says, Vayikra lo Hashem shalom. So that's by Gid'on. So Gid'on called the Kadosh Baruch Hu Hashem shalom. So you see, that's the Hashem's name. So if you cannot say Hashem's name in the Beit HaMerchatz. Okay, so when you say shalom alecha, you're saying Hashem should be with you. So therefore, you have to refrain. But maybe you cannot say the word emunah. Himnutaz, emunah. Maybe you cannot say that word either. Diktiv, ha'ila ne'eman. Right? Just like you tell me, Hashem shalom. So we have ha'ila ne'eman. So therefore, that sounds like maybe it's Hashem's name. Nechitem ha'chanameh. Maybe you'll tell me you're right. You cannot say ne'eman in the Beit HaMerchatz or Beit HaKiseh. Ve'amar Rabba bar Machsaya, Amar Rab Hama bar Guria, Amar Rab, Sharel le'memar himnuta be'Beit HaKiseh. It's permissible to say himnuta be'Beit HaKiseh. So the Gemara says, Hatam Shem Gufeh lo ekre hache. The name of Hashem is not ne'eman. Ne'eman is an adjective to explain ha'el. The mitargimin and elaha mehemna, right? It's the God of emuna. It's explaining elaha. Acha shem gufe ikri shalom. But here shalom is actually the name. Dikti vayikra lo Hashem shalom, not the Hashem that is shalom. Hashem, that name is shalom. So therefore, shalom is different than ne'eman. Ve'amar, Rava, Bar, Machsiya. Amar Rabba bar Machsaya, Amar Rab Hama bar Guria, Amar Rab, Hanoten Matana lachavero, Sarik lehodi'o. Okay. The whole purpose of giving a matana to somebody is to bring shalom between the people. Now the only way you're going to bring shalom is if you let him know that you gave him a matana. If he doesn't know, if you sent him the matana anonymously, so therefore didn't bring shalom. So therefore the Gemara is telling you when you give somebody a matana, the derech eretz is, you know, let him know that you sent it to him. Now she says, matan ploni eten necha. Vezet derech kavod. Which when you give a person a gift, that's derech kavod. You say, I'm sending you a gift. Maybe he's being embarrassed to receive it. He doesn't want maybe charity or something like that. So he's like, let's say you gave somebody a gift, well, his child a gift, and it was in your house, and the father doesn't know that his son received a gift. So therefore, he says, let him let the father know that you gave the kid a gift. So they bring haba between the two. So she gives two reasons. Number one, when you say I'm sending you a gift, so he won't be embarrassed to receive it. Okay, guy wants to send you a gift for whatever reason, and then the second reason is in order to bring. Ahaba, Shnei Emar, how do you know that this is from Hashem? Nadarat ki ani Hashem mekadeshchem. It says, go tell the people, that she says, Lo di'am, ani ba, shani rotze lekadesha. Go tell them that I'm about to give them kedusha. Tanya nameche, nadarat ki ani Hashem mekadeshchem. What was this referring to? What was the matana that the Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give us? Amadeh Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. Matana tova yesh li bebet genazai. I have a gift. It's in my treasure. V'shabbat shema, and it's called the Shabbat. V'ani mevakesh letena li Yisrael, and I want to go give it to Israel. Lech ve'odiam. Go tell them about it. So you see, what before he gave us the Shabbat, he went and tell them. Listen, go tell them. I'm sending them the gift. Mikan amar aban shemom Gamliel. So he learned a practical lesson from this. Hanotem pat letinok. You have a kid comes over to the house, and the mother fed him lunch, fed him a piece of bread. He gave pat letinok, not your tinok, pat to the neighbor's tinok. Sarich lehodia al imo. You have to let the mother know that I fed him lunch. How do you let him know? You don't have to say it. May avid le amar aveye sheif le mishha. Put some mishha, take some oil or some type of cream, and put it between his eyes. Put a siman over there. Umale le kuchla, or fill his eyes with some type of dye mascara. What's happened? Who's going to come home? Who did that to you? Oh, the same lady that gave me bread. After she gave me bread, oh, so therefore the kid will tell him. So it's a siman to get the mother to be curious. But today people are suspicious. The kid's going to come home with. Die between his eyes, they're going to suspect maybe it's witchcraft. So today you shouldn't do that. So my, Amara Papa, Shayif Le Moto Amin. Whatever was in the sandwich, peanut butter and jelly sandwich, take some of the jelly, put it on his face. Okay, the kid comes up and says, oh, yeah, you ate peanut butter and jelly? Yeah, he should give me a sandwich. Ini Veha Amar of Hama Bar Hanina, and Noten Matana Habero, and Sarik Le Hodio. And give him Matana to somebody, you don't have to give him. Let him know. Shnei Emar, Moshe lo yada ki karan or panav. This week's parasha. Moshe did not know that karan or panav, that his face was shining. Bedabero ito. So he didn't know. So therefore, God didn't tell him. So he says, no, lakasha. Abimiltad abide de geluye. Abimiltad lo abide de geluye. Something that's going to be figured out. Like the face of Moshe, the people tell him, Moshe, your face is glowing, he'll figure it out. Mashiach is something you're not going to figure out, like the case of the sandwich. So therefore, Sarika the Giluyah. That's this week's parasha. Everybody said this week, Karanor. It's like a Corona. The Corona. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do after Corona? Put a masveh, put a mask on. That's what the people are doing. Masveh, see the mask is this week's parasha. The Corona, mask, Karanor. The Gemara says, Veha Shabbat Da'avida Degeluye. So what do you mean? The whole proof you brought me was from Shabbat. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us, hey, I'm giving you a gift. It's called Shabbat. What do you mean? It's Abida Degeluye. The first Shabbat will know that there's a Shabbat. something we're going to figure out. So that's not a secret that we wouldn't know. We would know it anyway. So it's Amida de Geluyeh. So the Gemara comes along and says, Matan Sechara lo Amida Geluyeh. You're right. The reward. The day we know, but the reward. So then we have to learn the Gemara different. Really, Borei Olam is telling us the schar of Olam Abba. So really what it says over here, Matana Yeshli Bebet Genazai. That's not the Shabbat. Shabbat is not Bebet Genazai. Shabbat is here. But Matana Yeshli Bebet Genazai. The Shabbat Shema, that's Olam Shekulo Shabbat. That's referring to the Olam Abba. Shabbat you're going to get. But you should know that. Go tell them that if you keep this Shabbat, there's a different Shabbat in the upper worlds called Shabbat of Olam Abba. That they don't know about. And therefore, Lech Lehodi'am. Go tell them. Now the word Lehodi'am also could mean Relashon Vayeda Adam et Ishto. Anytime it says Vayeda means to connect. Lech Lehodi'am. Go tell them that the purpose of the Shabbat is to connect to me, to make Divikut. The purpose is connect Klai Yisrael to, like the Midrash says, the Tur brings it down. That Sunday said it has Monday as a partner. And the Tuesday said it has Wednesday. And Thursday said it has Friday. Shabbat came to God and said, I have no partner. So God, Borei Olam said, no, your partner is going to be the Torah and Bnei Yisrael. And therefore, we connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu through the Torah on the Shabbat itself. It's a connection day. So they go, Lech v'hodi'am. Go tell them the purpose of the Shabbat is hodi'am, in order to bring a kesher. Rav Chasda, hava nakit biyadeh, tarteh matanta the Torah. Okay, Rav Chasda was a Kohen. So remember we learned that in Masechet Berachot, where they said they found there was a city that there was, 80 sisters married Kohanim to marry to 80 Kohaniyot. And then they said they searched for Eretz Yisrael, and they only found two cases of two brothers married to two sisters, the daughters of Rav Chasda. So you see, Rav Chasda himself was a Kohen. In those days, the halakha was that if you slaughter an animal, you have to give the zeroa and the lechayayim to the Kohen. And Rav Chasda held that it even applies in Chutz La'aretz. So therefore, what happened? He had matanot. They gave someone gave him the matanot. Now the law is, once you give the Kohen the matanot, he can give it to whoever he wants. It's not Kodesh. It's his, but he can give it to whoever he wants. So he was holding matanot. He was holding the zeroa and the lehayayim. And now he was going to, auction it off. So what does he say? Amar. So that's what it means. Matanta de Torah. Torah means of the ox, of the animal. Amar. Kolman de ateh be'amar li. Shmateta hadeta mishemed de Rav. Anybody that can tell me a hiddush that Rav said, Rav was Rav Chasda's rabbi. He loved the hiddushim of Rav. Anybody have a hiddush from Rav? Yahib nalein, I'll give you the matanot. So Amale Rabab al Mahsaya, Haki Amar Rav, and Noten Matana la Havero, said Ihich lehodio, Shnei Amar, Ladat, Kiani Hashem Mekadesh Kehem. So he told him the statement. You give a matanah to somebody, you have to tell it to him. So he was so excited to hear this. Yehavan, he gave it to him. Amar, habibin alecha shmateta de Rav kulehai. Why, you love the hadushim of Rav so much? Amale in. He says, yes, absolutely. So amale, hayinu de amar Rav. On this, Rav made another statement. Milta al bishiyahu yakira. Which means the fine clothes is beneficial to the one that's accustomed to wearing it. Basically, he was saying, that's you. You appreciate the fine words of Rav because you were accustomed to hearing it your whole life. So Rav made a statement like that. That the fine garment, who appreciates it? The one that normally wears it. A guy that doesn't normally wear a fine garment doesn't appreciate what you're putting on his back. A guy that's usually wearing a nice garment, he enjoys it. So same thing with you. You enjoy the fine dirashot of Rav because you were accustomed to hearing it. Amar le, amar Rav hacheh. He said, really, Rav made such a statement? Matraita adif ali mikamaita. He said, I like that one better than the first one. For simple reason. The first one had nothing to do with me. The first one, Stam saying, harotem matra lahavero. The second is together with me. I'm that guy. I'm the one that appreciates the good garments of Rav. Therefore, I appreciate it. V'yava nakitna. Achariti, if I would have had another, set of matanot, I would give it to you, which means you deserve another reward for that. I would give you another matana. Amar Rava Bar Machsaya, Amar Rav Chama Bar Guria, Amar Rav. Le'olam al yishane adam beno ben abanim. Find the famous Gemara. A person should not show favoritism to his children. Shebishvil mishkal shne sila'im milat, because of a small weight of two sila'im of extra fabric, shenatan Yaakov li Yosef yoter mishar banav, more than the other brothers, nitkan'u bo, they were jealous, ehab, nitgalgil adava biyadu abotin l'mitzrayim, we ended up going down to Mitzrayim. Now she points out that he heard that, what does this mean, shne sila'im milat? Sounds like it's a small amount. Kaurad, Ketore Pasim was much more than a small amount. So he says that he heard that actually all the brothers had ketonets. It's just that Yosef had a little more fabric that covered the palm. That's what they call it, Pasim, Pas. It covered Pasyad. It's like a cuff. So his was a little longer. So for that little extra material that was added to the ketonet of Yosef, hence it was a ketonet Pasim, for that already, you see, the brothers got jealous, and therefore, we learn a lesson from them. Amar Rav bar Machsaya, Amar Rav Chama bar Guria, Amar Rav. Interesting Gemara here. Le'olam yehazer Adam ve'yeshev be'ir sheyeshivata kerova. A person should try to live in a newly established city. You have a choice to live in a city that's an old city or a city that's newly established. Try to live in a city that's newly established. Why? That's what that says. It's less avonot in that city. And therefore, if God's going to destroy a city, that's not going to be the top of the list. He's going to go to the older cities that already reached the brim of the averot. And then those cities are going to get, knocked out first. But the newly established city is still collecting. So therefore, they still have time. It's a very interesting yesod. So the Gemara says, where do you learn this from? You learn this from Lot, in the city of Sedom. Shnei Emar, we're on the first wide line now on the bottom. Hine na'ir azot kerova lanu shama. So Lot tells the Malachim, here there's a city, it sounds like it says it's close. There's a city that's close to Sedom, Mitz'ar. It's called Mitz'ar. Small. Mitz'ar. My Kirova. What do you mean Kirova? Idoma Kirova de Mekarba, meaning it's actually geographically close to Sedom. Vizuta, and Mitz'ar meaning it's a small city. Veha Kahazula. You don't have to tell the angels. The angels can see that. Obviously, you're telling the angels something that's not apparent, maybe. But they see the closest city. The closest city is Mitz'ar. So then we didn't have to tell them, hey, let's go to the closest city. And like Lot was telling them something else. What was he saying? So he says, Ela mitoch sheyeshivata kerova. That's what he was saying. Not that it's geographically karov. Its settlement was karov, which means they settled it closer than Sedom. Which means later. It's a newer settlement. It's karov. It's more recent, and therefore, as a result, that's a better place to go. Avonoteha mutzarim. So therefore, kerova, and therefore, since it's yeshivata kerova, halom mitzar. The avonot are less. Now, let's see that she over here, that she is a long Rashi, gives us a lesson in Humash now. You see that she vatakirova, shana achat, kadma la Sedom. That's all you need. Sedom was only 1 year older, but that 1 year made the big difference. Kedem mefaresh, shel Sedom hamishim ushtayim. Okay, we know this. The Gemara is going to say it in a second. That Sedom was the whole city lasted for 52 years, and then it was destroyed. How do you know it was a 52-year-old city? The Al-Qurhach bonim migdal be'eres Shin'ar hayu. Right? Those that built the Tower of Babel, they were in Shin'ar. Ve'lo haya yishuv ba'olam elo be'ota bik'ah. The whole world was there. The whole world was in that valley. The valley of Shin'ar. There was no Sedom. There was no nothing at that time. Dikhtiv. Ve'hi kol ha'ares safa'ahat. What's the safa'ahat they spoke? Shin'ar, whatever it was. Lashon HaKodesh. Ve'hi b'nos'am mikedem. And then they started to scatter out after the Dor HaPalaga. U'misham nafotsu limkomot ahirim. And they started to scatter out into the world. Kishinet paligu. U'banu lahem ayarot. And they started to build cities. U'mishinet paligu ad sheharbas sedom. From the time that the palaga started, meaning that they started to build new cities, until the destruction of Sedom, Eno ela 52 shana. It's 52 years. How do you know? Share besof yemei peleg nitpalegu ha'arasot. Remember, one of the sons was called Peleg. Why did they call him Peleg? Shebiyamav niflega ha'aris. So obviously you have to start Sedom's count from Peleg. Now, either you have to know from the beginning of Peleg's life or the end of Peleg's life. So you have to know exactly which part of Peleg's life, when it says Shebiyamav, that Palgu, is it the last day of his life or the first day of his life? It would make a difference, I guess, how many years, right? Kedetanya besedr olam. Amar bi Yosef, Navi gadol haya Ever. Ever. Ever was a Navi. Not only a Navi, Navi gadol haya. Shekara beno Peleg. Now when Peleg was born, you know, he had to be a prophet to call him that, to predict that in his day, the world is going to be scattered. Ki biyamav niflega ha'aretz. Now, v'im tomar, this side point that she's asking. B'tchilat yamav. Maybe it happened b'tchilat yamav. If it happened b'tchilat yamav, that means Sedom was much older than 52 years, as you'll see according to the calculation. He says, v'alo yoktan achav katan memenu, which means he had yoktan. Yoktan was his brother, his younger brother. V'hulid mishpachot, and he had children. V'nitpalegu. So therefore, it must have happened later on. Of course, already he had a younger brother, Yoktan, that had children that were part of the palaga. So it couldn't have been early on in Peleg's life. Okay, maybe it was in the middle of Peleg's life. No, lo ba katuv listom. It's not going to come along and say in his life the Peleg happened. It's going to be in a delineated part of his life, either the beginning or the end. It's not going to just tell you no man's land. So we proved it couldn't be the beginning, so it must be the end. Elo lefaresh, natan lecha siman. Velo teda be'ezo meshenotav, ela besof yamav. So it must be with sof yamav. Seva hashov shenotav shel Peleg, v'nimsa shana shemet ba, the last year that he lived, he shenat memchet Avraham. Beauty. So Avraham was 48 years old. Uksheharav Sedom shenat tzaditet le'Avraham. How old was Avraham when Sedom was destroyed? It was the 99th year. Share bo bayom nitbasera Sarah. You remember? That was when Sarah got the news that she's going to have a child. And that's when the Malachim came to say that they're going to destroy Sedom. So therefore, it was 99. So do the math. 48 to 99 is how much? 51. And it was destroyed when he was 100. So therefore, that's going to be the 52nd year, or 51, which is the 52nd year. Right. Or the 52nd year of Sedom. Beautiful. That's how we know Sedom was in its 52nd year. Ushna acheret yalda. The next year she gave birth. Avraham ben me'ashana. Beautiful. So comes the Gemara and says, no, we didn't prove that yet. We're just proving you that Sedom was 52 years in its establishment before it got destroyed. And Lot was saying, so let's go to Mitzar because Yeshivata is Kerova. So therefore, that year left, we don't prove that yet, but we know the Pshat and the Pasuk at least now. that he told us go to Mitzar because they have less avonot. How many less avonot? 1 year less. 1 year less is a lot, big deal. Continue. Amar Avin, me'ekera nechtiv imaleta na shama. Right? Imaleta na. Imagine na. Na means quickly. Let's go there quickly. But na also is what? 51. The gematria hamishim behad. Have it. So there you go. Meshin sedom nun bet. So therefore, it was saying imaleta na. Let's go to the one that's now. Oh, now how do you know Sedom? That's going to give you some facts about Sedom. Vishal Sedom, nun bet. Good. This is Nah, and that's Nab. Vishalvata Chavav. Now, Sedom had 26 years of, we'll call it tranquility. In the 52 years, the first years was war. Dichtiv, shtem asre shana abdu et kedol laomer. The first 12 years, Sedom was under the reign of kedol laomer. Ushlosh asre shana, the next 13 years, maradu. So that's 25 years they were fighting with kedol laomer. That one fight, the first 12 years they were under his thumb. The next 13 years, there was the war. What happened? Uba'arba asre shana. They freed themselves. So therefore, what happened? So from 13 and 12 is 25, and if they only lasted for 52, so that means for 26 years they had peace and tranquility until Avirot caught up with them, and then it was over. That's she. Eslim b'shesh diktiv en zu shalva. Right. The first 12 years and 13 years group is not shalva. They were either under Kedola Omer or they were fighting. The Yud Gimel Maradu. And the next 13 years there was a war. Enzu Shalom. Shayu Bahem Milhamot. Harechav Veshani. Veshnat Chavav. What happened? Nera Kedola Omer. That was during the war, the kings. Vaita B'Shalva. Chavav Nutarim Nutbet. Yeah, they were doing all these Averot during the Shalva time. So therefore, or could be they were doing Avirot also in the early time also. I don't know what they were doing Avirot all the time.
Abraham didn't want to take his money.
The point is, it's trying to show you that Sedom had 52 years of existence, and then they were destroyed. So you see from over here, the Gemara is giving you a lesson. You know, if there's a Gezerah, go try to find the city that's less, closely established, and go there. In order to be saved. Okay. Adkan. Baruch Adonai 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 Amen. We'll find out when deal was established.
What's the deal?
After Brandon. No. But
it's after Brandon.
Yeah.
Yeah.